May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. From our Apocalypse Explained, number 513. From this, the meaning of fishermen, fishes, and nets, so often in the New Testament, can be seen, as in the stories in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke, when the Lord called the disciples. In this, also, there is a spiritual sense, like that in the rest of the word. The Lord choosing these fishermen and saying that they should become fishers of men signified that they should gather to the church. The nets which they let out, and which they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so that the ships were in danger of sinking, signified the reformation of the church through them. For fishes here signify the knowledges of truth and good, by means of which reformation is effected. Likewise, the multitude of men who are to be reformed. The fish also represent truth. The net represents our mind, our understanding, that part of our mind that can gather in truths. Your mind, your understanding, itself is composed of truth. For truth gathers in truths. So how does this work? How does reformation actually work? Well, the first thing to know about reformation, and a very important and wonderful thing to know, is that if the state of reformation has begun in you, that upon your death, even if regeneration hasn't been completed, regeneration will be completed. Reformation, as long as it has begun, is like the first seed sprouting out its roots and its sprouts, that the Lord will cultivate and grow a new life. And that as long as this state is begun in this life, it continues in the next. Which means we don't have to worry about having a perfect heart in this life. But we should work to allow the Lord to perfect our understanding. We cannot perfect our will, but the Lord can help us work towards a perfect understanding. So reformation is about the understanding, and it's about perfecting it through truths of faith. Listen to the description again in True Christian Religion 587. So long as anyone sees and mentally acknowledges that evil is evil and good is good, and thinks that good ought to be chosen, he is in what is called the state of reformation. So the state of reformation is when we acknowledge mentally that evil is evil and good is good, and we think that good ought to be chosen. Notice there that at this point there's no doing. It's about thinking. Elsewhere in the chapter on reformation, we're taught that the understanding pertains to speech and the will pertains to act. So further, if you acknowledge mentally and in your speech that evil is evil and good is good, and you think and speak such that good ought to be chosen, you are in what is called a state of reformation. Now, this state must also go into your doing. It can't merely be in the way you think and speak. But the understanding is primarily concerned with the way you think and speak. Consider for a moment whether or not you think and speak differently. Often, we, when we speak, say things that are not true, that we know are not true. Further, sometimes, we think things that are false, even though a part of our understanding knows they are false. Just as in our will we can shun doing evil, in our understanding we can shun falsity. Further, in our speech we can shun falsity. We're taught elsewhere in the heavenly doctrine that influx is according to efflux, and further, that our speech and act give power to our understanding and will. Think of that. What you say and do gives power to what you think and will. You can see this on a very natural level when a student or other person says, "I am terrible at math." Every time they say, "I am terrible at math," they get a little worse at math. They strengthen that belief in their understanding that they are terrible at math. What's more, they are saying something that is false. They are appropriating the past to their future. Or another word of saying it is they are saying something that has been true, perhaps, in the past, and identifying themselves with it. As a counterexample, a more honest statement would be, "In the past, I have not been very good at math." Do you hear the difference? I am bad at math versus, "In the past, I have not been good at math." It's a very subtle difference. But that is where hell works. In taking something that is true and twisting it into something dangerously false. Math is a natural science, and it's useful in as much as it's useful. But there are more deadlier things that we sometimes say. We might say, "I am a liar," or "I am a thief." A more accurate way of putting it would be, "In the past, I have lied. I have stolen. I have sinned." And in that way, we can say we are sinners. But that does not mean that we condemn ourselves to hell. The way evil works, truly getting someone to commit to hell, is to appropriate or to make something one's own, the evils that we have done and delighted in. We've all delighted in evil. It's our natural inclination. And in that way, it is our nature to delight in evil. But that doesn't lock us in forever. And the way the Lord will free us of that past and those delights is first through the understanding. It's why it's worth thinking critically about ourselves, to examine ourselves with understanding. We can only do this truly in the light of the Word. The heavenly doctrines describe the understanding as something that can be elevated almost into the same light the angels are in. Further, a man who still loves evil, when he's elevated in that light, is like a bird of prey, soaring high into the sky, who, when he sees a tasty morsel down below, quickly plunges back into the evil of his delight, or the delight of his evil. These are the things that we live with. We are able to elevate our understanding, and so often we will plunge back down into the delights of our evil. But we should have faith. Saving faith is an acknowledgement that the Lord has the power to reform our understanding and give new life to our will. And it is from that faith that we act, that we shun evils, and that we do good. Repentance, and the life of repentance, is the means by which the Lord reforms our understanding and gives new life or regenerates our will. Think about the steps of repentance and how that can help the Lord or allow the Lord to reform your understanding. Change, reformat, give new structure to the way you think and speak. First is to know the truth. The first step in true repentance is to know what is good and evil, to learn truths from the Word. You cannot shun evils as sins unless you've been taught what is an evil and a sin. So the first step in repentance is to gather in truths, to train your mind with that understanding. Then we act to apply it. We shun falsity of speech and thought, and we shun the evils that those falsities lead to. Then we are called to begin a new life and go and do good and love the neighbor. Gather truth, shun evil and falsity, do good, in that order, again and again and again, and it will permit the Lord to reform your understanding. Change the very way you think. It is a blessing that reformation comes first, and that so long as reformation, true reformation, beginning in the understanding and acting into the will and acting on the will, can be the beginning of our salvation. Think how often it is true of someone you know, or perhaps yourself, that you're trying to live a good life. You go to church, you read the Word, you talk to your friends, you read other books, you pray, you gather in as much truth as you can, and you try to shun evils as sins. You try to understand what is good and evil and live according to it. And you're taught that as a result, the Lord will lead you to genuinely love the neighbor, to feel the joy of your neighbor as joy in oneself. That's what true charity is not just the acts of charity and repentance, but the actual feelings of charity. Well, how often is it true that though we act good, we may not feel it? The Lord is telling us that as long as reformation is beginning, regeneration will come. As long as we are on this earth, we will always be pulled back down into the lights of evil and into sin, into what comes naturally. But as long as we continue to go to the Word and try to understand it and let it reform our understanding and guide our lives, the Lord can raise us up. We can mend our nets. We can pay attention to our thoughts, pay attention to our understanding. But know that the Lord will call us. The most important step in repentance and in the life of reformation and regeneration is an acknowledgement that all good and truth comes from the Lord, and that without Him, we can do nothing. Similarly, for the disciples, they were working on mending their nets. They were hoping to be good fishermen. But without the Lord, that's all they are. Fishermen. People who fish for fish. People who gather in natural truths and scientific understanding of the Word. Knowledges. But until they are called by the Lord, they are not truly disciples, nor will they ever truly be apostles. So as we mend our nets, perfect our understanding, listen for the call of the Lord, that this is the Lord's work in us. Pray to the Lord for strength and guidance, and acknowledge that all truth is from the Word, and that the Word is the Lord. In this way, the Lord may give you a new understanding, and through it, a new will. Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.